together the hymn number 209. 209 in the page 260 of your hymn book. The Gospel of Thy Grace, My Stubborn Heart Is Won. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive. 209. Our sister Eileen tells me this is maybe one we don't sing too often, so we'll try and keep up our sister in the organ and sing it out. It's a great hymn, great words of truth, and reminding us what we have in Christ, our Saviour, through His saving grace and His keeping power. 209 will stand as we sing on the page 260. Let's stand as we sing. Didn't do so bad, and it's a good hymn. It's always good to sing out a new hymn and sing it out unto the Lord. We'll just look to the Lord in a word of prayer this evening. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, for the truths of this great hymn that we have been singing, that whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the message of the gospel, that there's life for a look at the crucified one. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that Christ died for us upon the cross. He was lifted up between heaven and earth upon Calvary's middle tree. And Father, we thank Thee that upon that cross He died, the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee that He said in Thy word that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Father, we thank Thee that upon that cross He bore the wrath of God, the judgment of God, that was our due for our sins as our substitute. We thank thee, O God, that he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And Father, we thank thee, O God, that he did all that was needed, all that was necessary for us to be saved from the awful ruin and hopelessness of ourselves and of our sin. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight that we have life eternal, that we have pardon, that we have peace, that we have hope, not just for time, but for all of eternity, because of one who died for us, one who has risen again, and one who is alive forevermore, seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory. And Father, we return thee thanks tonight for salvation, full and rich and free. We thank thee, O God, for thy saving grace and power in each and every one of our lives. We thank thee for each one in the gathering tonight who can rejoice in thy salvation. And Lord, each one of us can look back to that time in our own experience when thou didst speak to us, when thou didst deal with us in our need and deal with us in our sin, and that thou didst not leave us to ourselves, thou didst not leave us to our sin. But Father, we thank thee that thou didst draw us to thyself, and that thou didst save us, thou didst not cast us out, and that thou didst bring us into the family and fold of God. Thou didst blot out our sins and cast them into the sea of thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. And Father, we thank that thou hast given us grace upon grace upon grace, now, Lord, to meet our needs as the people of God. We thank thee tonight for saving grace. We thank thee, Lord, for keeping grace. Truly, Lord, the hymn writer could say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And, O God, we thank thee that the best is yet to be for the people of God. We thank thee, O God, for grace that is eternal, that keeps your people unto life everlasting. And, O God, we thank thee for that great prize, that great inheritance, that we have that heavenly tabernacle awaiting for us, that mansion in glory that none can take from us, that is secure by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, bless our coming together here tonight in this prayer meeting. Lord, cleanse our hearts afresh in the Savior's precious blood. Create within us a clean heart, Lord. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit. Prepare our hearts this night to meet with thee. Help us, Lord, tonight to worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord. And grant, O God, that the words of our lips this night and the thoughts of our heart, O God, would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, shut out all the distracting thoughts and cares of today and yesterday, indeed tomorrow, from our hearts and from our minds. And Lord, help us to be like Mary of old, who sat at the feet of the Savior, who heard his word. And Lord, may that be our portion tonight. Bless us, thy people, around thy word. We thank thee, Lord, that we can rejoice in thy word as those that find great spoil. And help us, Lord, to hide thy word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And Lord, may thy word be as meat to our souls. May it be as the bread of life to our hearts. And that even through thy word and thy truth tonight, that we would be strengthened and blessed and built up in our most holy faith. That we would be conformed more to the image of Christ. And that we might be led on with thyself. We thank thee, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of prayer. For the access that we have right to the very throne of heaven. And Lord, we realize that thy throne is above every other throne on earth. And Lord, that thou art the one that is almighty and all-powerful and altogether sufficient. Yet, Lord, in thy grace and in thy mercy, thou didst bid us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Help us tonight to pray. Give us the spirit of prayer, Lord. Help us to pray in faith. Burden our hearts, Lord, for those things that thou would have us to pray for. And we thank thee, Lord, for the promise of thy word that thou hast said that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them who ask. Lord, bless us tonight to this end and give us a blessed time around your word, a time of reviving, time of refreshing, Lord. And may we go away from thy house saying it was good to be here. For here we met with thee, our God and our Savior. Remember all who have gathered. Bless every home and family represented. Meet the needs of our homes and our families and unite them all in the Lord. Remember, Lord, those that are unable to join with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them and minister to them by thy grace and by thy power, we pray. And again, Lord, for others that are going through times of trial and difficulty, times of sickness, Lord, strengthen them. Lay on thy healing hand. Thou who art the great physician, draw near. And may they know that touch and that word from the Lord, I am the Lord that healeth thee. We thank thee for the meeting tonight in Tresna and for all the boys and girls who came to hear your word. Speak on through thy word to these young lives. Bless it to their hearts. And even through that meeting this year, may there be many children who not only hear thy word, but, O Lord, may there be many children who will be saved, who will trust the Lord. And bless those who are already saved. Lead them on with God. And bless these meetings as they continue this year, we ask. Remember our land tonight for good and all of its need, Lord. Bless your people as they gather for prayer, gospel missions, ministry meetings on at this time. Grant a time of great reviving from the presence of the Lord. And drive back the forces of darkness and of Antichrist in these days in which we live. And grant a hearing again for thy word and for the truth of the gospel, we ask. Close us in, Lord, now with thyself. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. And bless us as we continue on before thee this night. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We'll turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 200. 200's the hymn number, the page 257. Grace 'tis, a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. 200's the hymn number. We'll stand as we sing another wonderful hymn, reminding us of the greatness of God's grace toward us, even in salvation. Hymn 200, standing as we sing. going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, and we're just reading the final few verses of this chapter, reading from verse 15 down to the end. Tonight's really our concluding message in our studies in this book. We've been looking at this book now for some time over this past year. I trust it's been a blessing to your heart and encouragement to you, and maybe sometime again, we'll go back again to this book. But we just want to bring a concluding message regarding this book and our studies in the book of Colossians this evening. We welcome you all in the Lord's great name. Good to see all who have gathered tonight. Pray the Lord will bless you around God's word, around the throne of grace in prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting, and then 8 p.m., the youth fellowship meeting. And then do remember the open air and the diamond on Saturday at 11 a.m. Be much in prayer for that. And then the services on the Lord's Day morning, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. And we'll be along, God willing, to minister God's word. Pray for the meetings, plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Colossians chapter number 4, and reading just from verse 15 of the chapter, just going down to the end. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. Colossians 4 and the verse number 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, and grace be with you. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and may God bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. And the little text of Scripture I want us just to look at briefly tonight is the final words there of verse number 18, where it simply says, grace be with you. Amen. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, whenever a person generally concludes a letter, they usually express good wishes to the person to whom they are addressing or to whom they send that letter. Well, in our text here this evening, if you like, you have Paul's farewell good wishes to the church at Colossae when he says, grace be with you. Amen. And prior to this, he had sent his farewell greeting to the Laodiceans. You see that in verse 15 where he says, there, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And notice there how he uses in particular the word brethren. And by using that word brethren, he was encouraging them there in the church of Laodicea to treat each other with grace as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then in verse 17 of the chapter, you see how this character by the name of Archippus is urged to be faithful and to do discharge the ministry that God had given to him. It says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. God had given him a work to do. And Paul's counsel to that man was to continue that work, to finish that work, and to do that work that God had given him and who God had willed him to do. And then in verse 18, where a text is found this evening, Paul says, grace be with you. And by such words, he really reminds the Colossian believers right at the end of this letter, he reminds them of the sufficiency of God's grace to meet their every need in the Christian life and in the Christian pathway. He was drawing this letter to a close, but his final word to them was that they would remember, that they would consider, and that their eye and their mind and their heart would be focused upon the all-sufficiency of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to meet their need. Now, it is this reference here to the sufficiency of God's grace that I want us to look at briefly tonight. And we think of these words, grace be with you. There are a number of thoughts just want to share with you. First of all, we can say that through grace, or through Christ, there was grace for the Colossians to to make progress in their Christian life through Christ. There was grace for the Colossians to make progress in their Christian life. Go back to chapter 2 and the verse number 6. Notice there what Paul says to them earlier on in the book. Colossians 2 verse 6, he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." In other words, by God's grace, these Colossians, they had received Christ as Savior. They had been saved. And by that same grace, they would be able to walk on in their Christian life. In other words, to progress, to go on with God, to go forward in their Christian life and in their Christian experience. And brethren and sisters in Christ tonight, God's grace, yes, is also sufficient to enable you and I also to progress, to advance, to go forward in the life of faith also. Turn in your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 18. Look at the final verse there of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It applies to every Christian, to you and I who are saved in the meeting tonight. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Notice those words, "grow in grace." That speaks of advancement, speaks of progress, speaks of going forward in the Christian life. And child of God, yes, if we trust and we obey the Lord and we keep our lives clear and clean from the ungodly ways of this world, then the oil of God's grace will flow into our lives as God's people. We shall be enabled to progress, to advance, and to go forward in our Christian life. Yes, there was grace for the Colossian believers to progress. And believer, no matter how long you're saved, whether you're saved recently or saved a long time, there's grace for you and I also to progress and to go forward in our Christian life and in our walk with God. But then we can say, secondly tonight, in connection with our text, that through Christ, there was also grace for the Colossian believers to resist false teaching. There was grace for them to resist false teaching. Go back again to chapter 2 and look in particular at what Paul says to them in verse 8 and verse number 18 of Colossians 2. There he warns the Colossians about false teaching. Colossians 2 verse 8, he says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments," in other words, after the ways of the world, "and not after Christ." Again in verse 18 of the chapter 2, he says there, "Let no man beguile you of your reward and a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And there Paul was warning them of false teachers and false teaching. And in Paul's day there was much of that. But by God's grace, by the Holy Spirit, and by the study of God's word, these Christians at Colossae, they could overcome the false teachers and the false teachings of their day and continue on in the great ways of God. And brethren and sisters in Christ, the same, yes, applies to you and I also. Yes, this is a day, and you don't need me to emphasize it, when false teaching abounds on every hand. Well, by God's grace and through the Holy Spirit of God and through the Word of God, you and I also as believers in this ungodly world where there is false teaching in every hand, yet nonetheless by God's grace, by His Spirit, by His Word, we can overcome the false teaching of evil men and the false teachers and their schemes and their ways. You remember what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And there he was saying, Timothy, as a young man, get familiar with the word of God. Study the word of God. It's a lamp unto your feet. It's a light unto your path. It will keep you from error and false teaching and the ways of false teachers. Again, that's there for us as God's people as well, through the word of God, through the studying and the reading of God's word, we can be kept from error and the false teachings and the false religions of men. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16, and look at verse 13 of that chapter. Notice what Christ here said to the disciples regarding in particular the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives and what that would lead to, what that would do for them as Christians and resisting error and false teaching. John chapter 16, verse 13, he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come," notice the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's not the spirit of error or deceit. He's the Spirit of truth. "And he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you," in other words, reveal unto you, things to come. And there the Lord was reminding the disciples of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You remember again what John said to the Lord's people in the epistle of John. He said, "Ye have an unction from the Holy One," speaking there of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of his people to teach them and to guide them into all truth. And believer, it's through the studying of God's word and prayer and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through that Spirit-led study of God's word that you and I can discern what is true and what is false, that you and I can be kept from error and the false teachings and the false schemes and the false religions of men and of this world. How when we come to read and to study the Bible for ourselves, we should always be praying, "Lord, teach me, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me." Pray that God by his Holy Spirit, that's his ministry and that's a prayer God will answer. Pray that as you read the word of God and study it for yourself in your Christian life, that God will lead you and guide you into the great truths of the word of God. It is a fact of history that years ago, whenever Scotland Yard were training their officers to detect false currency and false money, that they would get their trainee officers to study the genuine mint, the genuine currency, and every detail. They'd become very familiar with that, and they would know it as it were inside out. And by that, in their duties as policemen and police officers and whatever, then in turn they would be able to discern and to recognize between that currency which was true and that currency which was false. And again, we can apply that to ourselves as Christians. By God's grace, through the study of the Word of God, you and I can be guided into what is true and right in the sight of God. And may there was grace, yes, for these Colossian believers to progress, grace for them to resist false teaching. Notice something else here tonight. Through Christ, there was grace for these Colossian believers to be at their best for God in their homes, in their families, and in the workplaces where they lived and mixed with people day by day. Turn back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 18. Notice the focus there upon the home, upon the family. It says in verse 18 of Colossians 3, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." And by those words, Paul was showing us how he knew that a right home environment, and indeed a right workplace environment, or wherever the Christians were in their daily place, was essential to the Colossian church having a bright witness for the Lord in their day and generation, in that place where God had called them to. And my, through this book and through what is said in our text, Paul was telling them that God's grace was sufficient for them to witness, to live for God's honor and glory in their home, in their workplaces, and wherever they mixed with others in the providence of God, day by day, there was grace sufficient for them in their home and in their family to live for God's honor and God's glory. And you know, speaking about the Christian home and the Christian family, Richard Baxter of old, he said these words. He said, "Holy families must be the chief preservers of the interest of religion in the world. In other words, he knew the importance of the Christian home and the influence of the Christian home and the work of God and the cause of Christ and further afield. Turn with me back to Malachi, the Old Testament book of Malachi, Malachi chapter number 2, and just go down to verse number 15, and here, through his servant Malachi, God is speaking to us about marriage and about the union of husband and wife, Christian husband, Christian wife, and the purpose of that union. What is it all about? Well, look at Malachi chapter 2 and the verse number 15. It says, "And did he not make one?" That is, husband and wife joining together as one in matrimony. "Yet had he the residue of the Spirit," notice it, "and were for one." Why one? Why marriage? Notice the answer, "that he might seek a godly seed." And there you see how God promises to use the family unit. What for? For the raising up in society of a godly seed. And why it is indeed particular, because of that particular promise, that the Christian home, indeed the Christian family, is under great attack today, satanic attack as never before. Because it is God's ordained will and plan to raise up a godly seed through marriage and through Christian husbands and wives and through the holy estate of matrimony. And you know, brethren and sisters in Christ, by prayer, indeed by obedience to God's word, by a family altar, we can pray, we can ask God for his protection, for his blessing, for his favor, for his grace upon our homes and upon our families. Yes, we can ask the Lord for help in our homes and our families and our day-to-day environment, wherever that is, in the workplace, wherever. We can ask the Lord for grace and for strength and help to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back there to Psalm 128. Psalm 128, a psalm that really is very important to the home and to the family. Psalm 128, verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways." Look at verse 5 of the psalm. It says, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." And that speaks of the Lord's blessing upon his people who fear him, who honor him, and particularly in their home and their family and in their day-to-day life as the people of God. But then we can say also tonight, in the fourth place, that through Christ, there was also grace for these Colossian believers to give the Lord first place in everything. There was grace for them to give the Lord first place in everything. Go back to Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. And look at what Paul says here of Christ. He says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." Notice Christ is the head of the church. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." Notice it, "that in all things he might have the preeminence." In all things he might have the preeminence. And here you see how Christ is to have first place. Indeed, here we see the full purpose of God's salvation. It is that Christ have first place in our lives. And by God's grace and putting Christ first, the Colossian believers would really find that everything else would fall into the rightful place within their church and within their witness, a personal and indeed collective for the Lord. And brethren and sisters in Christ, likewise, can I say tonight there's grace? Grace for you, grace for me, to put Christ first in everything in our lives. Think of the words of Christ to his disciples, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." And Christ would have not given us that command if there was not grace for us to put Christ first in our lives as his people day by day. How important that is, that in all things Christ would have the preeminence. There was once a young child, and the child had bothered buttoning up their shirt and found it difficult to do. And the mother said to that child, "Start at the top. Start with the top button. Button that one first, the top one. And all the rest will fall into place one by one to the bottom of the church." And that really reminds us, dear people, if we put Christ first in our lives, seek first the kingdom of God, then everything else will fall into place in our lives. God will take care of everything else. He said to the disciples, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And my, there's grace for you and I to give Christ the rightful place in our lives, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Notice one final thought here tonight, and it is this: through Christ, there's grace for the Colossians to continue true without falling back and falling away from the Lord. And that really is inferred by what Paul says at the beginning of chapter 3 and also the beginning of chapter 4. Look at what he says there in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Then look at chapter 4 and the verse 2. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In other words, by God's grace, Paul was saying that they would be able to continue after the things of God, to set their affection on things above, to continue in prayer, and to continue on following the Lord and serving the Lord. And child of God, can I say it's the same for you and I as God's people? Turn back there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse number 8. I encourage you, believer, to mark this verse in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Notice what it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. And Christian, God has grace to help you in your daily life to abound, as it says there, unto every good work in your daily life and your daily witness. Turn again over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And look with me there at the verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse number 10. Again, you see a reference here to grace. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And there Peter was telling the believers, even though they were going through times of testing, times of trial, and if you study the book of 1 Peter, you'll see they were going through a time of severe, fiery trial. He was saying in the midst of all that, there was grace for them to go on with God, to be strong, to be steadfast, and to follow on in the ways of the Lord. And believer, there's grace, yes, for you and I to do those good works that God wants us to do as his people. And even in the trial, maybe there's one tonight and you're going through a trial, a time of testing, time of difficulty. Likewise, believer, in the trial, in the fire, there is grace also to help you go on with God and plough a straight furrow for God. The old preacher John Bradford watched a poor prisoner, one occasion handcuffed to a policeman for some deed or some criminal deed that he'd done. As he watched that man being led away by the police officer, John Bradford said these words. He says, there goes John Bradford, but for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. By such words, he was saying that God's grace had kept him thus far, and that same grace would keep him unto heaven, unto glory, unto heaven itself. And you know, likewise, believer in Christ, you too, and as believers, yes, each one of us, we too can say of God's grace, we can say yes with the hymn writer John Newton of old, 'tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. There's no end to the grace of God. And so we would conclude our study in this book tonight. I encourage you, believer, to make it your daily prayer as you pray for yourself. Indeed, as you pray for your family, as you pray for your loved ones, as you pray for your fellow believer here in this church, make the words of our text your prayer, your daily prayer. Grace be with you. Amen. Pray that we would know much of God's grace. As you pray for your fellow believer, your fellow Christian, pray that they too, day by day, would know much of God's abounding grace, because God's grace is sufficient for our every need. We'll just close our time around God's word by singing again another hymn, the hymn number 358. 358, It's another well-known hymn reminding us just of the grace of God. 458 in your hymn book, 458. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. 458 will stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. 458. We'll just get down to our time of prayer. Just some prayer requests I want to just mention to you. Pray for the services over the weekend, the Sunday school, the youth, the children's meetings. Remember especially the Harvest Thanksgiving meetings coming up. Let us pray and pray that this will be a special time of outreach, even that folk will come in to the meetings at the harvest time. And then, of course, the mission coming up at the end of the month. That's only a few weeks away now. Pray for the Lord's servants, the Lord would prepare their hearts. And again, as the invites would go out around the community, there would be a response and people would come in. Remember the open air as well. Pray for that on Saturday. Remember our missionaries at home and abroad. You can remember the churches in North America. And do pray for the sick as well. Remember Deborah, and Joan Moore, and there's others connected with us. And Margaret McCraig is in for day surgery on Thursday as well. So remember her in your prayers as well, and others who need a touch from the Lord. At this particular time, we get down to prayer, encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord, men and women, and let us pray one with another, one for another, and that there be no gaps right through in the time that the Lord gives us. Maybe ask our brother Colin to lead us off in prayer, and then our brother Matt, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us in the time that is left. Brother Colin, then Matt, and one after the other, as the Lord leads. Thank you.